I am a user of a navigation system in automobiles. How many of you rely heavily on that? You know, for sure. And you know, most cars or telephones, you know, have this system put in place to help keep us on the right path. And you know, these things also give you other pieces of information too. You know, where restaurants are at, or where gas stations are at, or you know, other things along the way. And you know, I have really become to the point where I'm very dependent upon using this, and so I trust it. And you know, a lot of times I just don't care so much about how I'm going to get there. I just put the address in and just trust it, and it takes me there. You know, I do check out to make sure I have the right address, and I've done that before. And you know, she doesn't know any different. She takes me to some place I wasn't even going. So, but once I am sure that I have that address put in there, I trust it, and I don't have to concern myself with road maps or atlases or any of those things. It's just built in, and it works. It just seems to take care of things. And you know, I find that, I don't know if it's starting to get a little older, but sometimes, and I've got a pretty good sense of direction typically, but you know, when you come out at night, if you're in some place and it was light and you come out at dark, you kind of, even if you're familiar with where you are at, sometimes you just get disoriented. So navigate home, and she'll give me the first few instructions to get me back on the right road. So it's a nice tool that we can have, and when used properly can be very beneficial. But so many times when you get messed up, you know, I just love to hear her say recalculating. You know, I've messed up. I've turned wrong somewhere, and she has to recalculate the route. You hear that, recalculating, or make a U-turn, turn around. You know you're on the wrong direction if you hear that coming from her. And those are part of the instructions that come with these navigation systems. And so this road trip religion, how does this tie in? Well, I think it ties in really well, because I think we are all equipped with a navigation system like one that was there. Maybe not quite like that. I wish sometimes mine would work that way and be a little more explicit. But God's grace on this journey that you and I have, He continually seeks to keep us on track. And you could maybe compare that to a GPS system or a navigation system, that He is there in His Spirit to provide guidance and direction for us. So consider the time when we were on the wrong road spiritually. We all were there. We were all at a place, some point in our lives, where we were not on this journey that God had set out for us. We were on the wrong road. And if it was like my GPS system, it would have been nice if He would have said, "Joel, recalculating, you know, we got to get you back on the right road." And that's the thought behind this. We need to recalculate this path. Get on the right road. Get off this wrong road. There is always on that path this demand to turn. You're going the wrong way. Turn. Turn around. Get off of this road. You've got to turn from an old way and get on God's path. And this is true for all people of all times. We were all at one point in our journey on the wrong path, and it required a turn. We needed to change. We needed to turn. And the Bible word for this is repent. That's what repent means. It simply means this direction you're on. Repent means turn. Turn away from that and turn towards God. In the second chapter of Acts, the church is just getting started. Christ has ascended, and the church is beginning to organize, and people are starting to understand this awesome event that took place with Christ's coming and His death and His resurrection. And they're beginning to think about how this is all playing out, and some of the people are now realizing who Christ was, who Christ is, and they want to know, what is it we can do? What is it we can do here? Because we want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of Christ. And so Peter addresses them. This is just after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came down. Remember, they all began speaking in tongues, and people thought they were drinking and all this stuff. It was this when the Holy Spirit descended upon people, and this great work of the church began. And Peter says this to those people: what is it we can do? And the first thing he says, repent. Repent, turn, change. Get off this old road. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For that promise, that gift, is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him. And so this pattern that these fellows would have been asking here, there is a pattern to this, that there is this acknowledgement, first of all, that you're on the wrong path. There is this acknowledgement that you are about a life that is wrong, and there is an admittance to that. You need to admit that. I am on the wrong road. I am leading a life that is not in the same attitude and direction that God would have me go. And there's then remorse in that. I've lived this life that has been a sin-filled life, or a self-centered life, or a life that is far from God. And there's sorrow for that. There is remorse for that. And then there is this receiving of forgiveness, but then a turn. There's this turn, the word turn again. There is this repentance where I'm going to turn away from this path that I was on and turn towards this path that God has for me. You know, John the Baptist's ministry early on, that's where he started. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was a word he started off his speeches so many times. And Jesus, when he began his ministry, says from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I found a couple of road signs here I thought that were pretty good that shows here's what it means. Repent means turn. You're on a path and when you're called to repentance, it's turn. And to believe means I stay on the path that He has me on. I thought that was pretty good. Kind of ties in here neat with road trip religion. At some point, we had to make this turn. There was a confrontation with an old life. You and I all had it. It may have been as kids. It may have been at church camp. It may have been in a Sunday school class. It may have been later along in life. But there was a confrontation with where you were at. All of human beings were on the wrong road. And we realized that, and we had penitence. We were sorry for where we were at, and we received God's forgiveness, and then we turned and we repented and we got back on the right path. And we just sang about that. Oh, victory in Jesus, the second verse of that says, I heard about His groaning of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. We just sang that. We rejoice in that part of our journey that we repented. We were all on the wrong road. And somehow we were brought back into the knowledge that we were on that road. We acknowledged it. We had remorse about it. We received His directions and His forgiveness. We were baptized. And we repented. Well, yeah, but what about kids? They were repented, you know, they were baptized. Does that mean they repented? You know, we talk about this a little bit about baptism. You know, I look at it this way, and we're talking about highways here. I think children, when we baptize them as infants, they're like on a sidecar, on a motorcycle. You remember those, you know, you're driving on here, you got the sidecar on this. That's kind of where kids are. When we baptize them, they are on the right path because they've been baptized into a church and they're being nurtured and brought up in this Christian community where they come to know our Lord. But at some point, they're going to get out of the sidecar. At some point, they are going to be on their own journey and they choose which direction they are going as well. And at that point, if they choose to follow Christ, they will profess that same need. People that are in Christ, people that are followers of Christ, have repented. They've turned, and they've got on the right road. And we say this when we profess our faith. At some point in a Methodist church, we usually have people come up and publicly make this declaration. We did it just a few weeks ago a couple of times, and this is what we said. This is what we asked people to respond to. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? That's what we ask people when they come up here. Do you repent? Do you turn away from that road you were on? And do you get on this road that God would have you be on? That's part of what we believe to be true. And, you know, I think there's this underlining attitude sometimes that is wrong. The people will say, you know, I never really did that. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I'm not bad. My behavior's not too bad. I haven't done such and such. No, it's not about what you have done. That will not get you on the right path. We are all lost. We are all in this need of receiving forgiveness and knowing what wrong road we were on and turning to get on the right road. And we need, I think, to acknowledge that more as a church. And I think especially with parents and grandparents, our kids need to hear this. You know, one of the great mysteries that I will admit I don't understand is the billions and billions of people that have been born since humans have been around. Every one of them is sinful. Everyone. And all of them need to be brought back on the right road. That's hard for me to fathom. Why? Every human being in the world needs to get brought back on the right road because everyone is on the wrong road. That's a mystery to me. But it's true, and that is how we need to be about bringing up our people. We need to make that known. We need to know that it takes a turn to get to the cross. Nobody's born with that knowledge and that understanding to be a follower of Christ. It always takes a turn. It takes a GPS or a navigational system to say, you're on the wrong road. You need to get back on the right road. It sometimes just requires a drastic exit from the road you were on and to get back on the correct road. And think about that. I guess I would ask you to consider that. And perhaps that's never been a confrontation for you. Maybe you've never been brought down that path to realize that we're all there. We have all been there at some point in our lives. And maybe this is the moment you've ever heard it that way. But you need to acknowledge that. And you need to make that turn because God is wanting you on His path. His navigation system is saying, now is the time. Now is the time to receive my forgiveness and for you to turn off of that road and get on the new road. But I don't believe that repentance is something that just happens just one time. I think repentance is an ongoing thing. There's a hymn that we sing that says we're prone to wander. Remember that tune? We're prone to wander, prone to leave the one I love. We are. We just have this thing about us that causes us to steer away. And so the little graphic up there is even when we're on our path, it's like we need to be brought back into this path because we have this constant bent about getting off. We're constantly needing to adjust to stay on this path. We're already okay in God's sight. That's what justification is. We don't need to be saved again. It isn't that. But rather, we need to be brought back on this path that He would have us be on. As the church was developing, this came up as well. You know, do we need to still ask for forgiveness? Do we still need to be repenting? And in 1 John, I have this on the screen as well, he says this, if we claim to be without sin, this is to believers, people that would have confessed and professed and been baptized. This is the church. And he's saying to them, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins continuously, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. Justification occurs one time, once for all of your life. But confessing your sin and receiving His forgiveness, it's ongoing until we are glorified and are in His presence and sin no more. And I thought about how we might illustrate this a bit. And there's a new feature that some cars have on them called lane assist. And I got a graphic of that up there. And we've got a car that has this on, that has it on it here. And if you look, there's a little car there. And if you watch, the car's gone down the road. And how this works is you're driving along, and up in your rear view mirror is a forward facing camera. And the camera's got a little bit of intelligence to it. Well, the camera doesn't, but the system does. And it's watching the lane. It's looking at the yellow and white lines that are out there. And so the little green hash marks that are there is what the camera's picking up. Anybody have this in their car? Yeah. It was weird the first time I had it, because as you're driving along here, if you start veering a little bit, the light will turn yellow, saying you're getting kind of close to one of the sides. You're getting too close to the center, or you're getting too close to the side. And if you get too far, your steering wheel shakes. That freaked me out the first time. You know, I didn't know what was going on. You know, and you're over there and you kind of bring it back. But then it's also got this this feature that you can turn on, that you drive down the road and it'll do this a little bit, but then also it steers it back. It actually has some torque in it that pulls the car back. Well, that was kind of neat, you know, because it sees where you're at, and if you wander a little bit, it does this, you know. And if you do it too many times, a little bleep will go on and a coffee cup comes up there and says, "You're getting sleepy. You need to stop and get some coffee in you." And really, it does that. But, you know, I wanted to see how this, you know what I did? I had to see how this is going to work. Carlos' car. Tom knows. He knows exactly what I did. So I make sure everything's cool, you know, and there's no big cars around. I'm on a straightway of the highway here. And so I just kind of kick back, put the cruise control on, take my hands off. Let's just see what it does. And it did it. You know, I kind of get over to this side and it'd bring me back, and I'd be over here and it'd bring me back. I said, "This is kind of cool. I can just take a nap, you know, show up where we're going." But about the third time, beep, 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 it bops and it says, "Put your hands back on the wheel." It knew. It knew I didn't have a hold of there. But it's this other system. It's called Lane Assist that helps keep me on my path. It helps keep me centered in this journey that I'm on. And that is not unlike our journey of faith, that we have to constantly be doing that. We have to constantly be reminded to stay true, to stay in this path that God would have us on. And I wish sometimes these systems were a little bit more like the first one we watched. I wish it was just a little more direct. Joel, don't do this. You know, don't even think about going there. Just, this is where you need to be. And go over here and take care of this. You know, it is more subtle than that. I wish I had that type of a perfect lane assist system or this perfect GPS that would help me stay near to this destination that he would have. But, you know, one thing about it is on the systems in your car, whether it is your GPS system or whether it is a lane assist system, you do have to turn it on. You do have to know how to use it. You have to turn on your navigation system. You have to put the destination in. You have to turn on lane assist if you want it. And then you have to trust it. And that is like our path as well. I think God's desire for us is to stay near and to stay on the path as close as possible. He wants us to hear his voice, and he wants us to obey. He wants us to stay on this road. But we have to know that voice. We have to be turned on to that voice and then trust it. And there's a responsibility part on our part, just like within the car. You have to know it, you have to use it, and you have to engage it. Spiritually, we stay connected by prayer. That is our connection to God. That is where we hear his voice and we learn what path he would have for us. And we get our directions too on our journey by being in a community of other followers, like we're doing here. And when we hang out in other social events, you are with other people that help encourage us to stay on our path. And we hear his voice through our experiences as well that we have with each other. We find where Christ is working and we hear his nudging and experiences. But primarily, the fundamental way we hear God's voice is by staying in this, by staying in his word, staying in scripture. That is where we have this text that when we read it and we consider it and we ponder it, it becomes alive and it becomes his voice for us. And I know all of us can improve on this. We can devote more time to scripture. And that's not that hard to do anymore. You know, Bibles are easy to come by, but those of us that are kind of in the electronic age, you know, you can get apps that daily will pop up and say, here's a scripture for you. Or you can subscribe to a reading plan that will say, hey, you know, let's just take the next several months and do this, and it'll email you or it'll put it on your phone. We are without excuse when it comes to getting in this. It's just so easy and convenient to do, and we can all for sure grow on that. That is how we will hear his voice. That's how we will come to know God's navigational system for us. And I think then what will happen is we are on that journey, and when we are in his word, this lane assist system is going to kick in and it's going to say, you know, I'm gossiping too much. Get back. I'm talking a little negatively about these people. I hear God talking to me through scripture and through prayer and through community. And he's going to say, you know, I want you to go love so-and-so. I want you to go provide some care for so-and-so. This lane assist, this navigational system is helping you out. You know, you're just a little too dependent on something. You're dependent upon a substance or food or pornography or whatever. Get off of that. Get back on track. And we do this because he's calling us to be different. You're a little prejudiced. Get rid of that. Get back on track. But we do that because we're staying in his word, we're staying prayerful, and we're adhering to this awesome navigational system that he has for us through his Holy Spirit. And if it's something we got to turn away from, we acknowledge that and we say, I'm sorry I've been that way. Thank you for making this known to me, and I turn off this wrong road and I'm getting back on the right one. So I hope we do that. I hope this is part of our lives. And the last thing I would say is we're going down this journey. Use your turn signal. Use your turn signal as you turn so that other people can see that you have turned. And they'll want to know, why is it you are on this path? Why is it you are turning? And we tell them, I am turning because I am called by the Creator God to be this person. He is changing me through His Spirit, through the voice that I'm hearing here. And He's asking me to become. And I'm obeying. And I'm making these sight turns of repentance to stay on His path. And I think that's when the world is going to see people that are on this path, joyful path, the one that He has called for you and me. Let's pray.